But he's supposed to be my brother. He's not supposed to do that. Suffer wrong. God, you don't think God knows that and sees that? And do you think by taking him the law, you're going to, God's now going to favor you?
God will make sure the case comes out on my side.
Don't be foolish. Suffer wrong, and God will hear your cause. I commend myself to the judge. Commend yourself to Christ, and he will be your judge. You know, suffer is really big. Why don't you just do that? Suffer. Isn't that what we've talked about in the gospel? I think he's almost in this mindset. Why don't you take wrong? Why don't you suffer yourself to be defrauded? Then you won't even need to have anyone in the church judge it either. Just take it. When all else fails, you can just suffer wrong. No, you do wrong instead, and defraud, and you do that to your brethren. That's the thing, is that, you know, nothing worse than when people come in the name of Christ and they make merchandise of people. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Well, all I gotta do is believe to be righteous. Righteousness is not just something you believe. As the Apostle John taught, he says, let no man deceive you. This is from 1 John chapter 3. Let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. The only way you can claim to be righteous is if you do righteousness. Not if you say, well, God marked it in his book. That doesn't count. It's imputed. You know, you got to go back and study Romans with me because I go over it. It's not, but it surely the righteousness of God is imputed before we do the works. But that's not to say, it's just like the faith of Abraham. It was imputed to him for righteousness. But then, God actually delivered on the promise that Abraham was believing in. And the promise we're believing in is not just eternal life. It is not just inheriting the kingdom. Part of the promise of the salvation is this. Whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. This is Jesus Christ preaching the gospel. Whoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. That means you cannot abide with God unto eternal life if you are a sinner, if you are a servant of sin. Plain and simple, that's what it means. Servant abideth not, but the Son abides forever. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, abides forever. You have to become the Son of God to live forever. If the Son, and that's by becoming, growing up into Christ, with the seed of God being planted in you, etc., etc. These concepts, if you've been studying with me, should be very plain. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not just theoretically free. Not just imputed free. Which is like the Emancipation Proclamation without winning the Civil War. You know, it's kind of meaningless. You're all free down there. Whoop-de-doo, we still got our chains on. You know, unless you can actually make them free. Free indeed. It's just a bunch of vain words. The unrighteous means those who do not do righteousness. It doesn't matter if you believe and you are the worker of iniquity and that's how you die. When you meet Jesus Christ, he's going to say to you, I don't know who you are. And then you're going to protest him and you're going to say, but wait, Lord. Which right there, no man calleth Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost, right? No man can say, Jesus Christ is Lord, right? That's what it says. But then he says, as they call him Lord, he says, I don't know who you are. I never knew you. Because he has to foreknow you. He has to know you before the foundation of the world in order for you to be saved. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity, Jesus says. That is what he's going to declare to people who come to him, claiming to believe on him, claiming to have done the works of salvation. Because the people say, well, wait, they're works. The works in your name, they do all kinds of works. They believe in his name. That's a work. According to them, it's a work, because according to me, it's a gift of God. To believe is the gift of God. So there's no work in it at all. In fact, for me to believe, no work. God gave it to me to believe. No work. For them, it's a work, because you have to choose. You have to look at the facts and make a decision for Christ. You have to choose to love him. You have to do everything, basically. God just, he dangles salvation out there, but you got to take a hold of it. You got to do it. And I have to take hold of it, too. But it's a very subtle distinction. But it's what divides those who speak as the scriptures speak from those who speak as men speak. And merely use the scriptures as cloaks for their wickedness. I don't want to do that. And in everything, I always endeavor to give you the truth from the Word of God in the most basic terms, but trying to bring it all together so you would understand the gospel. What is this good news? The good news is the kingdom has been committed to you, but in order to inherit it, you have to appear a certain way. That's also good news, too, because when I think about it, my heart lifts, and I have great joy, and I feel like I feel so good just thinking about to be like Christ. Like Christ. If I could be like Christ. It's like, to me, I don't want to be like some self-absorbed sports star, some movie star, whatever. I want to be like Jesus. Of course, that's but the thought of being like him, and I don't mean like walking on water, though that would be cool, or the other miracle type things. I don't even mean that stuff, though that's part of the package, ultimately. I mean to walk righteously, to walk godly, to walk in a way that it always pleases God, because that would please me. To me, that's good news, that Jesus Christ died to make me free. He died to deliver me from this evil world, to deliver me from the affections and lusts, okay? Because they vex me. Now, other people, they love that stuff. And unless God, sort of strikes them down or